The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by John Budden to look ahead to Wednesday's action. We've got one race at Haydock that we're going to preview, as well as two at Hamilton. And we're just going to have a chat about what's going on in the racing world. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Alex. And I've had two winning naps out of three, which is quite unheard of.
Not bad, is it? Not bad going?
No. I'm sort of optimistic for the future.
Very good. I wish I could say the same, but unfortunately I'm on a bit of a downward spiral at the minute that I can't seem to get out of. So, but there's still time. Lot of time left.
We mustn't get worried at this stage.
No, we're in danger of tailing off, but we're not under too much pressure just yet. I think Paul Maloney would be riding us if we were a horse, nestled out the back. I said we'd mention stuff that's going on in the world of racing. And front page of the Racing Post today: Superstar Trev set for King George. This is, of course, the Wonder Filly. Who first of all will be going to the Prince of Wales Stakes at Ascot, but the King George VI Stakes is the target, and provided she comes through the race, the first race at Ascot, okay, then that seems a pretty logical decision, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Alex. And, you know, I think Trev is in danger of being forgotten with all the excitement about Australia and the Derby, which we've just had. She's a remarkable filly. There is no question about that. I mean, her performance in the Arc last autumn was absolutely stunning. And I don't think we need worry about the defeat in the Prix Ganay. I mean, it was, in fact, a head-to-head with Cirrus Des Aigles all the way down the straight, having wandered about, as they do often, at Longchamp for the first sort of two-thirds of the race. And I think the filly Trev probably needed the outing just a little bit more than Cirrus Des Aigles, who has advertised the form with some marvellous runs since. So it was by no means a disgrace to be beaten. I'm delighted that we're going to see Trev here at Ascot, first of all in the Prince of Wales, going for a fourth Group 1 next week, mm-hmm. and then hopefully after that the King George, and perhaps back to the Arc, because on last year's form she was absolutely, you know, out of this world, really, and it would be very upsetting if she were to go backwards in this particular campaign, which I don't think she will for one single moment. So that's exciting news, Alex.
Absolutely. In terms of the Prince of Wales Stakes, we've got some betting for that. Trev is the 4-5 market leader. Magician 6-1, 8-1 for Mukadram. The Fugue is 10s, Dank and Ruler of the World in at 12s, Remote 14s, 16s for Trading Leather, 20s for Ector Harm, 25s or bigger the rest, including Ambivalent, Secret Gesture, Parish Hall. There's a lot of nice horses in there. I mean, I'm a big fan of Trading Leather. I think Secret Gesture is a nice horse. Remote is a nice horse. The Fugue, of course, lovely filly. But you just get the impression that these horses coming up against Trev, it's almost another step up, isn't it?
It's going to be a test for the filly, though, Trev. There's no question about that. I think 5-4 on's a bit of a safety price at the moment to prevent perhaps big hitters having a real go.
A Magician at 6-1.
If
Magician is 6-1 this time next week, or, you know, just before the race, you'd be saying that is an each-way play to nothing.
Yes. You've mentioned two or three horses in the race who are obviously very useful. And they've got Macadram, who, you know, could easily create a surprise. You've mentioned Magician there. Dank is another one who comes into this. It's, you know, a really good race. So Trave's going to have to be very much on her toes to impress and you know, suggest to possible critics that she is just as good as she was last autumn. I think she'll win, but even so, it's by no means a shoo-in.
No, I'd agree. So that's the Prince of Wales Stakes. Coming up on the 18th of June, of course, just 8 days away now. Okay, we're going to look at three races on Wednesday. Unfortunately, not quite the same class as the Prince of Wales Stakes, but nevertheless, not too bad action, and there's winners to be found. We kick things off at Haydock with the 340, a handicap over a mile, a Class 3 event with 9 runners going to post. And it looks like Magic of Reality will be a reasonably warm order for this one. Lady Cecil trains, Richard Hughes rides, a chestnut filly who's very, very consistent, has had just the one bad run. But that was at Haydock, which may temper enthusiasm a little for the Cecil horse. But Magic of Reality looks to have pretty solid form coming into this, John.
But Magic of Reality has very solid form, Alex. And it has to be said, too, that Lady Cecil, and I'm very pleased about this, has really come back with her horses in good shape over the past fortnight or so. I thought Joyeuse was a particularly impressive winner, but she's had a couple since, and Richard Hughes riding for her, and indeed that horse is going to be hard to beat. It's quite an interesting little race, though, and we've got the man with the magic wand, for example, with the top weight. That's David O'Meara. Do you know, I read a spotlight in the Racing Post about a week ago, and whoever was writing was talking about a David O'Meara or David O'Meara horse, and referred to the gentleman as needing to show a little bit more of the magic wand if this was going to win. I wonder whether he'd been a listener to William Hill Radio, because I've always referred to David O'Meara, as I call him, as the man with the magic wand. And he's got Stand My Guard running under top weight with the excellent Danny Tudhope in the saddle. I mean, always has to be considered. I quite like Chosen Character too in this contest, Alex. Have you ever backed Chosen Character?
Plenty of times. Ex-Richard Fye horse tends to run well around Chester. In fact, not ex-Richard Fye horse. I've made that up. Only run with Tom Dascombe. I do remember this horse. Saw it at Redcar in just its fourth ever start. Interesting to see Hayley Turner on board. She's picking up a few rides now for Tom Dascombe that she wasn't getting before. And also, when you consider Chosen Character, on the last 10 starts, has been ridden by a claimer. Natasha Eaton on 6 of those, and more recently Jenny Powell. So this horse may appreciate Hayley Turner getting on board. I don't know, but certainly bounced back to form last time over course and distance, although the ground was pretty soft then.
Yeah, quite likes Haydock, and I was interested you should mention Hayley Turner not riding very often for Tom Dascombe. It's perfectly true. I do actually remember her riding for Tom Dascombe at Musselburgh, only about a couple of seasons ago. I think it was a couple of seasons ago. She rode what many people thought at the time was an extremely naughty suggestion, this, but the appropriately named Bear Behind. However, Bear Behind managed to get through the sort of name detective, so I'm not sure, although he is, of course, spelled B-E-A-R Behind.
Correct.
She won on that horse at Musselburgh and was then very unfairly, in my view, disqualified. And the great footballer declared that he would never, ever send Michael Owen, he would never, ever send horses to Musselburgh again because the stewards had disqualified Hayley Turner. Chosen Character, then. We must go on because we haven't yet come to the horse that I'm going for in this race. Ed McMahon's got a decent animal we'll call Multi Benny, who is gradually coming to a good mark, but I have to go for Ginger Jack in this contest, Alex. this horse looks to me to be very well handicapped for this particular race. Jeff Harker's team just running into a bit of form. P.J. MacDonald won the Edinburgh Cup for Richard Fahey on Hesketh Bank last Saturday. A very rare booking for Richard Fahey, but he gave the horse a tremendous ride, so he's in form. Ginger Jack, I think, is a horse who's underrated on the whole. He started this season with an excellent second at Ripon. I thought he was going to win the first time out. Nearly cried at the moment because I hadn't actually either napped him or backed him, but he just got done inside the last half furlong. And then he went for the Zetland Gold Cup. Mm. And I thought he ran extremely well in the Zetland Gold Cup at Redcar. 1 mile two stretches his stamina. And he was right up there on the inside for much of the trip.
It was a funny race as well, the Zetland Gold Cup this year, because you had the market principals, if you like. Ajmani, Faluka Kumani, who was tailed off. Sanoki and Star, who's so consistent, ran an absolute stinker. Ennis Town for Godolphin. I mean, they were three of the last four home, and they were three of the first four in the betting. Which could point to the form not working out, potentially. But at the same time, Cash Point, the winner, did have bits and pieces of form. Silvery Moon is a decent yardstick back in third. And as you said, stepping ahead in fourth, Ginger Jack in fifth. You know, not a bad race. And Ginger Jack certainly did run well. And as you said, it is probably better over a mile.
Yes, I'm sure he's better over a mile. I think he's got a chance in this race. He's going to go at quite a good price. He's run well at Haydock before now. Jeff Harker took him out of a race at Ripon last week, where he appeared to have every chance, but they had a lot of rain at Ripon, and obviously Jeff decided it was going to be too soft for him. Hopefully it's not going to pour with rain at Haydock overnight. If the ground is reasonably good as forecast, I thought Ginger Jack had got a fair chance in that 340.
Okay, Ginger Jack the pick in Haydock's 340. The next race that we'll look at is Over the Border, Hamilton's 610. The first race on their evening card, and it's an amateur rider's handicap over six furlongs. 14 runners go to post for this Class 6 event. Not the strongest race you'll ever see, but the good thing about these kind of races is, John, you can almost rule some of the horses out based on their jockey. It sounds harsh, but you need a very able pilot. The ones that stand out in this field, you've got Harry Bannister riding Lexi's Beauty, Serena Brotherton on Harbouria. Who else? We've got Jamie Hamilton there on Spoken Words. There's a few decent jockeys in here. I think the place to start is with Ruth Carr's Harbouria, who is very, very consistent. 3 seconds in a row, but I don't think you could question this grey horse's temperament. And more importantly, won this race last year.
Yes, and is my selection, I would say, Alex, because I think this horse is very consistent, and Harbouria representing Ruth Carr, whose horses are in really very good nick indeed. San Cassiano was an excellent winner at Ayr on Monday, and basically they're very close to winning every time they go with chances. Becca Met was another who ran pretty well up at Ayr in the soft. They like soft ground on the whole, a lot of Ruth Carr's horses, and this Harbouria certainly does, and it's going to be pretty tough testing ground up the Hamilton Hill unless they have an amazing burst of sunshine over the next 24 hours, because they've had a lot of rain at the Lanarkshire venue. Serena Brotherton is, you know, one of the most consistent riders. I thought this horse is quite well drawn at six. Serena can therefore plot the course she wants to do. And the consistency of Harbouria deserves, I think, a victory. Good second to Mandalay King, who is useful when on song last time out, and second to Monel before that. I emphasise that particular run because Monel came through to win rather well with Graham Lee up getting a three-timer at Ayr on Monday. And so the form is sound. We've got at least four good male jockeys in it, though. The two Hamilton brothers have definitely got squeaks, both Tim and Jamie Hamilton. We've got William Easterby, who is really doesn't ride a great deal, but he is, of course, the son of Tim Easterby, and he's a very sound pilot. He's on Amethyst Dawn, for example, who could go quite well. And then Harry Bannister, who you mentioned very much in the news at the moment, because I'm pretty certain he's joining John Joe O'Neill to become his amateur for the sort of autumn campaign. Metal is in the race as well with a chance, and similarly Mick Easterby, who has quite a good record in this race, has got one of his granddaughters, Joanna Mason, riding Ice Blast. But I thought Habre had got a really good chance for Serena Brotherton.
Habre, who of course has had 5 runs at Hamilton, 1 win and 2 places from those efforts, and Serena Brotherton has won twice on the horse already, so seems a pretty solid pick, that one, in the 6-10, and seems to have decent chances of following up last year's win. Next up is the 8:40. It's the final race that we'll look at. It's the penultimate race on Hamilton's card. And 5 furlongs is the trip for this one. A Class 6 event with 10 runners going to post. Looks pretty competitive, this, John, but there is one standout right up at the top there. Classy Anne. A filly in pretty good nick for Jim Goldie. Graham Lee takes the ride on this one. And we'll be looking to follow up the course and distance win in an apprentice race last time out.
Yeah, this has got a major chance. There's no doubt about that. And Classy Annie, you know, was a decent winner of both the last two outings, has scored at Ayr and then went on to win, as you say, an apprentice race at Hamilton. One or two of the slightly better horses were taken out of that race. But nevertheless, the filly won well, gave Stephen Powell yet another 2 or 3 pluses at the top of the Naps table, grind one's teeth, but well done to Stephen. And Jim Goldie's got his, I didn't call reserve team, but the main bulk of his string in excellent shape. I'd love to see him get a proper winner. You know, Hawkeye the New and particularly Jack Dexter have been a little bit disappointing in big races so far this season. No doubt their turn will come. Yeah, Classy Annie's got a major chance. I've been swallowed up in this race, though. I'm a terrible supporter of a horse who hasn't won for about 40 races. That's Captain Scooby. And I have been following this horse, Alex, through thick and thin. Connor Beasley has been riding him for the last 3 or 4 outings, and he has actually done a very good job. Richard Guest has really rather a good record at Hamilton. Captain Scooby runs probably his best races north of the border at Hamilton. I think he did win at Hamilton some long while ago, and he loves soft ground. And there was just a hint that he might be going to win a race when he ran his best race for some time and was second at Chepstow recently. He's nicely weighted. He's got conditions in his favour. I am, though, swallowed up. No doubt Jim Goldie's filly will win this comfortably. There's also one or two others in the race which I remember with fondness, in inverted commas. Wicked Wilma, for example, is reappearing. And Ishii 2 has got perfectly sound form and really could go quite well in this contest for now with Peter Grayson. But I think it is between Jim Goldie's filly, Classy Anne, and I'm hoping that Captain Scooby is going to be in very good mood and will win his first race for a long, long while.
Okay, one that I will just throw at you, John, just at what will be a bit of a bigger price, is a horse that was a maiden for a very, very long time, and that's Busy Bimbo. yeah. Now, it's not a horse that usually I'd be mad keen on, but got off the mark at Hamilton. I think it was at the 56th time of asking, went out of the handicap at 40-1. Tipped that day, I may add, by my girlfriend at 40-1. I think she should get a job on here instead of me. But since then, has run 3 solid enough races, was behind Classy Anne last time. That may be hard to reverse that form, but Paddy Mathers gets back on board here, and if Alan Berry is going to have a winner, it's most likely to be at Hamilton, isn't it?
It certainly is, and Busy Bimbo was, you know, a surprise winner. The Silver Fox nearly passed away because his horse was in second place. I mean, you couldn't believe that Busy Bimbo was going to win. Economic crisis, yet another who tends to go well for Alan Berry at Hamilton. And our own Mr. Brierley did, in fact, press his button and have a little on Busy Bimbo at 40 to 1 because he couldn't believe that Busy Bimbo was going to go off at that price. Yeah, it did win quite nicely at Hambledon. Has been beaten since.
Yes.
And it just might have been a little bit of a fluke. But there we are. I think Classy Anne's going to be very hard to beat, but I'm hoping, fingers crossed, for Captain Scooby.
Okay. Could you just run us through your three picks, the one at Haydock and the two at Hamilton Park on Wednesday, please, John?
Well, in the 3:40 at Haydock, we're going for Ginger Jack to give PJ McDonald another good winner. Two at Hamilton, Serena Brotherton on Hab Rea in the opener, the amateur riders race at 6:10, and then Captain Scooby in the 8:40 for Richard Guest and Connor Beasley.
Okay, lovely stuff. Best of luck with all those picks, John, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
Thank you very much, Alex. I will.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.